You're listening to Red Nation Online.
CANADA. Tell me, what's a Douglas fir?
Welcome to another episode of The Royal Westminster. Tonight, we're looking back on the last 5 years for Toronto FC. Titled 5 out of 5, I'm joined by SB Nation's Duncan Fletcher of Waking the Red. And we discuss five questions that look back on and towards the future of the club. After each question, other contributors to Red Nation, such as Tim Vickery and Steve Perry of Eastside Stand Up, regular columnists Armin Badakian, Lars Lothar, and site founder Steve Botcher, as well as supporters who've seen the club since day one. Let's start it off as Duncan Fletcher and myself look back on 2011 and get into the first question. All right, so here we are. Mm-hmm. 5 years later, Duncan. Mm-hmm. Five long years.
Yes.
But you know, this is the point of this podcast here. It's kind of like 5 out of 5, and we're looking back on those 5 years of Toronto FC and sort of where we've been, the good, the bad, and then looking forward to the future. But I think we should kind of maybe just start it off, since it's you and I kind of leading the way on this podcast, with 2011. And kind of finding where 2011 fits in, you know, into the last 5 years. Your thoughts on the season and sort of, you know, what you're thinking about the team moving forward.
I mean, it does very much fit into the last 5 years. It's been very similar to 2007, starting all over again. And just the amount of new players coming in and just the seeming lack of organization, just the pre-season 2012 feel to the whole season. It seems very much like part of the last 5 years, but I think it is going to be good going forward. I think we've got this out of the way, needed to be done to kind of start over again. But now the qualifying for the quarterfinals is going to be huge, because there's those two big games that are potentially really huge to kind of get the fan base energized and enthused again. And there's no way they're just going to let that go. So I think even whether we win those games or not, we are actually going to have a team ready to go at the start of the season, which is the one thing that we've never had in any of the 5 years so far. So I'm positive for next year.
Yeah, I think that's too one of the most important things, I think, when I look back on, especially the last 2 years, is they've both started off. You know, we're down to the week before and we're still down 5 to 7 to 10 roster spots. Mm-hmm. The preparation mm-hmm. hasn't been the best. And now that it's at least we'll have the same head coach, it looks like the same coaching staff.
Hopefully.
Knock on wood. There won't be, you know, almost a 100% staff and player turnover mm-hmm. Going into 2012. And I think a lot of people identify stability as an important part of this club, at least showing some proper progress.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's really been missing through the whole 5 years. It's just been chasing their own tail, not really going in any sort of obvious direction, starting over again and again and again. And yeah, if we can get an end to that, then we can hopefully become a respectable club at some point.
Let's get into this then. Let's go through the five out of five. And I'm not in upper management or middle management in my career, but I seem to recall there is some sort of strategy when you're dealing with employees and whatnot, where it's like you get the bad news out of the way first, and then you get into the good stuff. And I think we're going to follow that same format here.
All right.
We'll start with a question that sort of start with the bad, and we'll work our way into the good. But I also want to can spin it like if you don't look at the mistakes you made in the past, then you're doomed to fail them again. So we're gonna address some of those here mm-hmm. With the first question that was asked to that I'm gonna ask to you, and we asked to a whole bunch of other people involved with Red Nation and friends of the site, and that is, what has been for you one of the most disappointing things for Toronto FC over the last 5 years?
For me, I mean, there's obviously been a lot of disappointments and, on the field, many, many disappointments. And I'm actually going to look off the field for what I'd say is the big one. And that's just the way that, after that first year when, it was a lot more successful off the pitch as far as the fans go. There was great atmosphere, all that sort of thing. And then just the way the front office, rather than nurture that, basically just turned around and thought, ooh, there's a lot of people here, we can exploit this. And they just really, over the last few years, killed off that enthusiasm that is there. And I think, even after the first year, we're saying, oh, those tickets were too cheap. And okay, but it worked really well. Stick with it. And the South End and all that sort of thing is what you're selling this whole thing on. Just kind of keep that going. But instead, MLSE being MLSE, they thought, we're missing out on a little bit of money here, so we've got to get that. And, they kind of kill off the golden goose, if you will. And, that's definitely one of the more disappointing things for me is just off the pitch. It could have been really good. And hopefully they're looking at Portland or Seattle and learning lessons from how they've been able to take what Toronto did and go further. But I doubt it.
So in terms of thinking about the biggest disappointment, for me, I would have to say probably this season represents the biggest disappointment. Just because there was certainly an opportunity much earlier in the year to make progress. However, we started the season without even a full complement of a squad, and everything was just so rushed. I feel as if we've lost almost an entire season of progress. I think we could have been in much better shape much sooner.
Well, the most disappointing thing from the last 5 years with TFC. A few things do stand out, but I think, one match and one game in particular stands out. And that would have to be the 5-0 loss to a last place New York side in the final match of the 2009 season. We ultimately learned after that match that even a draw would have gotten TFC into the playoffs for the first time. And the manner in which the team was blown out in that game was truly disappointing. That match just highlighted the overall mismanagement and lack of direction on the team in general, through the first 4 years of the team. And that had to be the biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment was Dwayne De Rosario. I'll tell you why. His departure of the club, his leaving of the club, was a big, was to me a mistake, simply first because he did it for money. And when he came into the club, there was this real sense of he was coming back to Toronto, he's going to finish his career there, we're going to win some championships. And then it changed. It shifted. The problem is his mentality changed. And it disappointed the fans, and it disappointed the city in general. When you see a guy who is giving it his all, and in the end it almost felt as if he was doing it, he was acting, he was faking it. And when he signed that check, and I was there, I saw it, and I looked and I go, is he signing a check? And after all that, the whole team morale fell. So in the end, I think that Dwayne De Rosario was the biggest disappointment.
I think the biggest disappointment for me would be how the Dwayne De Rosario saga unfolded, and basically how both parties involved in it, whether it was MLSC or whether it was Dero himself, how they conducted themselves. And I think it has led to a lot of disillusionment and divisiveness among TFC supporters. So for me, I think that would probably be the most disappointing event, I guess, with Toronto FC, because it's done more damage than losing could have done to a lot of the supporters and the relationships between them.
I think the day Preki came in and everyone kind of already knew that Amado Guevara was going to be on the way out, I think that was the biggest disappointment for me, because Guevara had actually been playing well, and just that personal reason for him leaving, just kind of from past conflict, I thought that was completely unprofessional on Preki's end. And that was really disappointing to see from Toronto FC.
I wish I could say it was one thing, but there's been a few. I guess in reviewing these games, week after week, you kind of come to the conclusion after, looking at this deeper and deeper, that I think the biggest regret or the biggest disappointment is that MLSE still owns this team. They seem to be at the heart of the matter, the heart of the problem, and so that's the biggest disappointment.
disappointed, but there are other ones that are kind of obvious. And you know, after 5 years, it's hard to believe that we still haven't made it out really out of the bottom of the table, and so that's a disappointment. But I think week after week, a reoccurring disappointment would have to be that we continue to drop points within the dying minutes of the game. We have not learned in the last 15 minutes, or the last 15 minutes of the game, to be able to hold on to a tie or a win. And so that continues to be a recurring disappointment.
All right, so now we've got that out of the way. Let's, you know, there's been a lot of bad things and a lot of disappointments through the last 5 years, but let's be fair, there has been a lot of really good memories, and that's probably been, you know, what keeps people coming back week after week, year after year, that there has been some good memories from 2007 to 2011. So let's start the upswing in the podcast, and let's start with that, with you, Duncan. What has been one of the best memories for you over the last 5 years?
I'm trying to stick to actually on the field for this one. I think it's difficult to look past the whole miracle in Montreal. I think, you know, there's been some good games here or there, but I mean, that one was just so surprisingly out of nowhere. I mean, you kind of look back on it and, yeah, you know, Montreal's B team, is it really that big of an achievement? But just for to watch the actual game itself, just like so surprising. And I know, it was just, I think, like the week before that, or a couple of weeks after the Vancouver game, there'd been all this, like, the protests outside Gate 4 and that sort of thing, and then just all of a sudden that comes out of nowhere. I think just on an individual one moment in time, I think that would still be my favorite.
But if I had to go for, you know, what is my best memory from the last 5 years, you know, apart from opening day, I probably don't need to take a lot of ginkgo biloba to really remember the best memory, since it was only a couple weeks ago. And that's another match, and it had to be the win over Dallas in the Champions League, in which the team qualified for the knockout stage of the CONCACAF Champions League for the first time. You know, very impressed with the way the team played. It took me completely by surprise, and, you know, really just showed a lot of good things and all the growth that the team had made in its first year under Aaron Vinter.
One of my best memories of the last 5 years had to be when Preki got hired, and I'll tell you why. When Preki got hired, it kind of ties back to what I was saying about kind of how MLSC kind of fed us this stuff, but the lies and the mistruths and the possibilities. But I believed in that possibility. When Preki got hired, everything seemed perfect. Everything seemed ready to go. We were about to take off. That was my best memory, because I felt confident in that team. We had just come off another horrible season, and it looked like MLC was getting its shit together.
In terms of what I thought was the highlight of the five short years that Toronto FC has been around, I would have to say probably the 2009 Neutralite Cup, where Toronto were certainly on the ropes within qualification or winning the championship. They were in desperate shape and travelled to Montreal and had to get four away goals. Ended up winning 6-1 with Di Rosario scoring a hat-trick. I thought that was one of the rare occasions that Toronto had risen to the challenge and done it in a fashion that left the fans feeling very, very proud of what they had achieved.
That FC Dallas game was fantastic. The CONCACAF Champions League ones. I mean, I think the one that I enjoy the most is when Dicky O tied against New England and we all kind of ran on the field, because we had the euphoria, and it didn't matter that we actually were atrocious, but it was just again, we had hope. We're like, oh my God, it was a team coming into form. But that FC Dallas game, you know, too bad it couldn't be there live, but watching on TV, it's probably the most cohesive we looked, and we dominated, and, you know, we won on the road against a pretty good team. So that 3-0 FC Dallas game was probably one of my best highlights. At the stadium was the Dicky O goal, I would say. I still remember that. It was great.
I wanted to say the 3-0 over FC Dallas, but I think that's a little too soon. And the other thing is, I enjoyed it a lot, but I didn't have the same emotional attachment as I did to the Montreal Miracle and what happened in 2009 with the Neutralite Canadian Championship. And that was actually the first TFC match I ever attended, so I always find myself comparing Toronto FC matches to that one, and So I guess I let myself down a lot, but for me, what was special was just how an emotional roller coaster. Toronto went down that goal, and then they came back and scored in six. You could just sense with each goal that was scored, every single one, including the one that Montreal scored, just sort of the emotions that were going through everyone that was standing in that section. So that was pretty special, and it was a meaningful result, and it was good to get one over Montreal. And the Vancouver players were there watching, which kind of made it entertaining as well.
So we've gone through moments in time, moments over the last 5 years, the good, the bad, on the field, off the field. But let's get into maybe some specifics on the field. Mm-hmm. And let's look at some of the players over the last 5 years. And, you know, there hasn't been a slew of keepers, but we've had roughly, 100 and something other players.
Yeah, definitely over 100, probably about 110 by now, I imagine.
So there's plenty to choose from. Plenty to choose from. And it's not as easy as it sounds. Despite those numbers, it's not as easy as it sounds. And, you know, the question I want to pose is, you know, from the last 5 years, you know, can you tell me or pick for me, you know, a defender, a midfielder, and a forward player that stood out for you over the last 5 years?
From their time at TFC, it's a bit different. I think defender, you know, maybe look at someone like Todd Donovan for his, you know, what he's done with LA. He looks very good. But from the time for TFC, I would say the first 2 months of Adrian Serriou, back in 2009, was it he was here? Yeah. I think he got kind of injured and then towards the end of the season wasn't as effective. But those first 2 months he was there, he was just an absolute beast at the back there. He was just, you know, dominant. And you know, we've never come close to having another defender who's been like that, who has been dominant, and you know, you can look at and think, yeah, we're okay. So he was going to get that. We're going to be all right. It didn't last long, but those 2 months, he was great. So we go with him in defense. Midfield, and I like to, you know, kind of pull someone, you know, less obvious out of things, but I think, you know, I do have to go with like Torsten Frings, really. I think just, you know, everyone said, like, for De Guzman, you know, the excuses were there, say, oh, you know, we really shouldn't have a DP as a defensive midfielder, and, you know, there's only so much you can influence the game from there, and, you know, those were the excuses made. But just within, like, the first couple of games that Frings played, he just, like, blew that out of the water. It's all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, this is what a defensive midfielder can actually do. And, you know, he's kept it going and playing at the back as well. It's when he does that, he's managed to miraculously make the defense look competent, and you know, ideally we can get some other good defenders in there so he can move back to midfield. But I think I've got to go with the obvious and go with Frings. As far as forwards go, I'd love to say Chad Barrett. I'm a huge Chad Barrett fan, but I won't. he has his limitations, obviously. I'm going to go with the guy who I think is just the anti-Chad Barrett, which is Danny Kuvermans. He doesn't look athletic out there, and you know, you maybe don't really notice him, but just, I mean, he scores a lot of goals. His ability to make space for himself, I mean, the first few goals, like, there's a lot of goals he scored, and you know, he's kind of open and knocking across or whatever, and you think, right, how the hell is the defense leaving him that open? But it's happened often enough, you realize, oh, okay, it's not to the defense, it's just his movement off the ball to create space for himself is just world class. And then he can finish as well. And, you know, that's something we've never really had before. You know, we've had people who can play certain elements of it. You know, Dicchio, Barrett, Alan Gordon was very good at certain respects. But, you know, as for forward, you want a goal scorer, and that's Kuvermans.
There are two defenders that I felt were strong, kept the line together. I thought Todd Donovan was, he had 27 appearances for the team, but I felt, and then he got injured. But I felt that he really could keep that line together. He was always in the right spot at the right time, and he had a lot of awareness of the back line, a lot of awareness of the ball, a lot of awareness of strikers coming down the line. And to me, I thought he was very good. And Serriou.
I would probably say that Adrian Serriou represents the strongest defender that we had I always liked watching him, and I always thought that he could be relied upon as the last man standing to turn the ball around and feed it back out to the midfield. He never looked like he was struggling. It was always a pleasure to watch from my standpoint.
For the defender, I choose Jimmy Brennan, just because he was always a really solid left back until he kind of got a little bit on the older side. But, I mean, he was a Canadian. He was our first player, our first captain. So he's always going to be that Mr. Toronto FC for me.
And a lot of the guys that I would pick have actually been shipped out since then. I felt Nana Adekor had a lot going for him, and I probably would have kept him if I possibly could have. And Toronto had a lot of problems at the back this year, especially. And it never seemed like he was really given that shot to be in the system for whatever reason. And for me, he seemed like a good prospect, and he had problems with his technical game. There was no doubts about that. But at the end of the day, when his head was in the game, and it usually was, Nana Adekor was a solid defender, and we definitely could have used him, especially in the latter half of this year. And even in the first half, I guess, because he didn't get a lot of playing time.
I guess I was midfield at Mauro Rivera. To me, I think we all went south when he disappeared. I mean, he was such a, I don't want to use the word talisman, but he had such a way of connecting our defense to forwards. He was kind of the anchor, and he was just, you know, before Torsten Frink showed up, I mean, he's only been here a short period of time, but to me, this team went was Mauro Guerrero, and then he was that old Honduras qualifying for the World Cup. We didn't really have him. He was probably one of our best midfielders we had.
As a midfielder, and Torsten Frink stands out as probably the best player the team has ever had. He's a complete joy to watch, and you know, he's one of those rare players that actually makes everybody better. So, you know, I think that's one of the best signings that not only Toronto has ever made, but I think he's probably one of the best designated player signings ever in the MLS.
Jacob Peterson is the finest quality midfielder we've ever had in the side.
In terms of midfield, I would have to say Dwayne De Rosario has been my favorite out of the lot. There's been some good choices too, but Dwayne De Rosario has been the highlight. And I think on forward, I would have to choose one of the new players, Danny Kovermans, who has been able to deliver, which is unlike any other striker we've had.
Forwards, again, I would say Danny Kovermans in the last little while. Before that, I guess, would be Dicchio. I mean, he just played with such passion, and I guess he represented our team, you know, this guy who's kind of reclaimed, and he embraced the city.
And in terms of an attacker, a little bit of a tip of a hat to Danny Dicchio. I was never a huge fan of Danny's, but I think that he should probably be paid some homage. We've never had really strong attacking players. I think out of all of them, he was the one, all of the attackers we've had, he's the one that certainly played with the most heart and certainly made the biggest contribution in the sense that he scored our first goal and really got the ball rolling in the right direction.
All right, so we've gone through the past 5 years. You know, we've looked at results. We've looked at performances on the field, performances off the field. And then we've now just talked about the players on the field from the last 5 years. But now let's start to look forward. And specifically, you know, so many with, you know, Aaron Vinter and Bob Duclair coming in, so much talk about, you know, philosophy and vision in the future and whatnot.
Total football.
Yeah, and so, you know, whether it's this, you know, whether it's tactics, whether it's on the field or things off the field, a lot of initiatives they're trying to put forth for the club. So that's the next question now is, what do you think is the most important initiative or critical one that this club is going to make the next 5 years successful?
I think for that, it's, you know, definitely the work they're doing in the academy is going to be huge eventually. It's like over the next 5 years, you know, by the end of the 5 years, hopefully it will be having a big impact. You know, there may be 4 or 5 players that have come through that academy. And, you know, hopefully not just like bit players like, let's say, Stinson is right now, but, you know, actually really good central parts of the team will be coming from the academy. I think that ties into really, you know, you're mentioning just like, you know, playing like the system and how they want the team to play. You know, it is something where, you know, it's not something you can just like pick up right away. You've got to have like learned it and that sort of thing and played it for a long time. So it's going to be difficult to like pick up players from MLS. I mean, we obviously like tried a lot of them this year and, you know, a few of them worked-ish. So I think like the academy, to be able to just get the players young enough where they can be playing that for, you know, their early teens onwards, and then, you know, that is where that's what's going to cause the team to have success going forward.
I think it's something that Aaron Winter actually said that a lot of people kind of missed during his end of season press conference this year. He said that with the academy system, he's kind of categorizing players into this one's going to be the left back, and this one's going to be the right center back, this one's going to be the attacking midfielder. And I think that that's such an important tool to like instill into the minds of these players, because when these players know, okay, I'm going to be the right center back for the future of Toronto FC, they can look at whoever's actually playing there, whether it's Adrian Ken or whoever we have playing, and he can look at himself and say, look, I have to perform better than whoever that player is in order to make myself a starter for Toronto FC. And when a player knows exactly what position they're going to be playing, that's huge. That's crucial for their development. So I think just the fact that Aaron Winter's kind of categorizing our academy players into a specific system is just going to be the most important initiative.
Getting more soccer qualified people into the higher, like the senior positions of Toronto FC, the positions where sort of the Tom Anselmi type positions, the president of the club, the person who's hiring and firing people, because at the end of the day, what Toronto has lacked for so long, well, I guess for so long, 5 years, has been the person who knows what's actually going on and knows when they need to be firing people and when they need to be hiring people, who they need to be putting into those positions.
I think we've talked about it a lot on our podcast, and the thing that we seems to be an area that we don't know much about, but we've often harped on, which was scouting. I think we rely too heavily maybe on agents pimping players, and I'm not sure that we have good scouts to get out there and tell us where the talent is. And then while we're on talent, I think that having the academy and certainly player development has always been something, but I think most important, and this is the thing that we've really fallen down on, is consistency. So I know that there's an attempt with Aaron Winter signing him for a 3-year contract to have at least consistency at the head of the team. We'll see how many players are left at the beginning of next season.
In terms of discussing, you know, what the club needs to do in the next 5 years to be successful, not a completely original thought. The team needs stability and continuity. Those are two things it never had under Mo Johnston or any of the previous coaches and regimes. So I think it's key that TFC needs to keep Aaron Winter and Bob DeClercq here for the full 3 years of their contract. And if the team's performing well, I think they need to extend them. So, you know, that continuity is going to be key. I'm hoping there will be additions to the team over the off season, but that there will also be some continuity in terms of the player personnel. I don't want to see another season in which 38 or 40 players, whatever the number was this year, actually suit up with the club.
All right, so we've done 4 out of 5. And now we're wrapping up on the last question. And it's hopefully one that, you know, we're going to throw something out there that, you know, when we look back on the next 10 years, when we get to that point, hopefully one of these will have come true, because that's what this question is going to be about. You know, I want to know, at the 10-year mark, after the next 5 years, what milestone do you hope, if there's just one, that this club will achieve?
It's difficult. I don't want to come out and say MLS Cup or CONCACAF Champions, because there's obviously only one team that can win it every year. There's a lot of good teams out there. So I wouldn't call it a failure if we don't win one of those trophies. And I am hoping, I would say, the next 5 years, at least 4 out of those 5 years, we should have be right up there at the top and contending. Basically, I think we should be one of the best teams there. As well, one thing I'd like to say is no more than one new coach over the next 5 years. Like, potentially I could see Aaron Vinter sort of moving upstairs and getting somebody else in. In my ideal sort of dream kind of thing, I say, you maybe say, what's Gus Hiddink doing these days? Let's get him in. Move Winter upstairs and get in an experienced coach. But whoever it would be, I could see that happening. Or, even more ideally, we've had massive, massive success and Winter gets poached by some big team back in Europe and, we have someone else come in to keep the work going. Stability. And so the main thing there is I don't want TFC to be the punchline anymore. Whether it's just a lot of players, the amount of players we work go through, the changing a coach every year, TFC's a joke. I don't want them to be a joke anymore.
In 10 years, the main thing is hoping that we'll have a team, because who knows what will happen in the next 10 years. It's a long way away. But if we have to think about it, that we'll still have a good culture here, that the real fans grow bigger and bigger. And I think we saw it in year 5. It's interesting. That's the halfway point. And those of us that stood in the rain, in the lightning storms, and made it out, booked off work, stayed with the team even when everybody said they were crap and people gave up their tickets and people, those of us that still tried to make it no matter how we could, those are the fans that we need to see in the next 10 years.
And if I think about where I'd like the club to be in 10 years' time, well, the first thing I would say is I'd probably like them to still be around. whether they are or not, who knows. But I think the most important thing from any fan's perspective, all you want your club to be is a contender. You want them to be a bona fide contender, one that's challenging, winning games, turning losses into draws, draws into wins, and on occasion losses into wins. You want them to be fighting for every point that they can get to be a contender, not to sort of sit on the periphery or just be a sort of money-making mechanism for a larger organisation. And that's really the hope through what I mentioned earlier about stability and investment in talent. I think that's really the key to be considered a contender.
Well, there's really only two that I want to be talking about, either an MLS Cup win or a CONCACAF Champions League title. Those are the two that really matter in North American soccer. I suppose a supporter's shield would have some relevance too, just in terms of, comparing it to leagues in Europe where the regular season, is what matters, and whoever finishes first, after the 30-odd number of games, is the best team in the league. So, I could live with a supporter's shield in the short term, but I think they need one of those big trophies, at least one of those, after 10 years of competition.
Hope they make playoffs. But in seriousness, I hope they win a title. If they don't make playoffs within the next 10 years, I'd be shocked. It's just a statistic. It'd be a statistical anomaly. But winning a title, I think, would be a huge milestone. That's an MLS title or the Supporters' Shield. I think at the end of the day, I'd take a Supporters' Shield right up there with an MLS Cup win, because at the end, when it comes down to it, it's more impressive to be the best over 34 than 4 or 6 or whatever it happens to be, wherever you get seated in. So, I just think it would be really something special if they could, within the next 10 years, either win a Supporters' Shield or an MLS Cup title.
In all fantasies, it'd be amazing when the CONCACAF Cup, we actually played in that World Club Championship, and if Barcelona was there, and say Flamenco or Penarol from South America, and whoever from Asia shows up, and that would be awe-inspiring. I'm hoping we win an MLS Cup in that time. I mean, we look at our expansion cousins. I know Seattle got bounced. Well, they lost 3-0, but you look what Philly's done, Seattle's done, even Portland's first year. It kind of hurts to look across and see that they're so far ahead, but I guess I'm hoping that we get to run the CONCACAF. That would be the ultimate. And MLS Cup, I know we got to make the playoffs first. But I guess I was hoping at least there'd be some stability and just each year growing. So year 1 to 5 to me was stop, start, stop, start. Hopefully we just pick a direction, go forward, you know, and move forward that way.
The obvious thing is to have won a cup in the MLS league, right? I think a dream would be to have won a title for the CONCACAF tournament. I will settle for a team that doesn't disappoint in the last 15 minutes of the game, because that irks me like nothing else. And I would like it if we had a club that wasn't greedy with their ticket prices.
At the 10-year mark, okay. In 10 years, I want to look back and see that we've won 5 consecutive championships from the Neutralite Canadian Championship. I want to see a winning record against Montreal. And as well, I'd like to see a playoff run which takes us to the very final match before we ultimately mess up and lose to the New York Cosmos. It'll probably be Steven Gerrard with the 90th minute goal, and our captain Milos Kosic, just he won't be up to it. So I think that's going to be the one thing we're going to really look back on.
We hope you enjoyed the Royal Westminster. If you have any questions, suggestions, anything of that sort, please get in touch with us through email at haveyoursay@rednationonline.ca. And if you want to get in touch with us about anything on the site or any of our other podcasts, Inside the MLS, East Side Stand Up, Red Nation Interview Series, the best way to get in touch is through email, again, at haveyoursay@rednationonline.ca. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.